من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. My dear respected elders and dear brothers, as the Muslim Ummah, there is a many heritage that we share. And amongst this is the heritage of the collection of ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the ayah that we have read, that Allah on one occasion, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had confronted a Sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala an, whose habit was to record every aspect and every word that was uttered by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba confronted him and said that obviously it is not necessary that each and everything that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam utters that you need to record. So he sees his habit, and after some time this was brought to the attention of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon which he said, and he commanded Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu an, that uktub, that write, for verily in whose hands lies my life, everything that I utter and I say, it is right, it is correct, and it is haq, and it is truth. What was the very mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The embodiment of that mission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make reference, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. There are four duties that made up the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, يتلو عليهم آياته, that is reciting the ayat of the Quran. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, making an effort on the purification of the souls of men. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and teaching them the kitab, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and wisdom. This is the embodiment of the risalah and the nubuwa and prophethood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find the legislation of the Quran and the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in the Quran Kareem, it is not individualistic by itself. It is not an entity that requires obedience by itself on its own. But the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a perfect exponent and explanation of the injunctions of the Quran Kareem. That is why we find our belief constitutes La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. Obedience to Allah and obedience to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By way of a few examples, Allah mentions in the Quran, Aqimus Salah, that we need to establish Salah, that in what manner that Salah needs to be established, that it is of that level, desirous to fulfillment of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Preceding that, the very act of purification that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that act of wudu, which in itself is a form of ibadah, that will be a distinguishing factor on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alludes to this as ghurram muhajjaleen. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be certain persons that will stand out by the frequently making of wudu. Their foreheads will be shining, and the places of wudu, the body parts of wudu, will be shining with a specific nur. That performance of wudu with all its requirements, the preparation of going to the masjid to perform salah, his walking to the masjid is as though he is in the path of Allah, his observance of the rites of the adhan and the iqamah, his waiting for that salah is as though he is in salah, then performing its salah is sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform salah as you see me perform salah. Practically, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed and taught sahaba the performance of salah. After all of this, the explanation given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then one is able to fulfill the command of aqimus salah, of establishing salah. Allah gives the command, wa atimul hajjata wal umrata lillah, that perform hajj and umrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, on the plains of Hajj, that khudu manasikakum, that take from me the different rites and rituals in the fulfillment of Hajj, for you know not that I will see you in the coming year. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically explained and showed and taught Sahaba. And this came about in an era that what was the life of Sahaba? It was a period of time where it was a nation that was accustomed to tribalism, to culture. They were totally void of any divine injunction and obedience. Divine obedience was almost extinct. But it was such a people. Would legislation and command be sufficient? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtured them with practicality. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtured their hearts by the tazkiyah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had offered them. It was not only the light and the nur of Quran. We find another example where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us that to observe kindness and tolerance. It was Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that displayed this, that placed his hand of love on the head of the orphan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke with words of kindness to the young, with words of respect to the elderly. On the occasions when a goat would be slaughtered, he would keep aside few pieces, parcels of meat for in the sake of enduring family ties for the friends of Sayyidina Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. This was a practical display of the social life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the display of humbleness? Humbleness is a trait of every believer. But what was this? Maybe the optimum of all of this, what is the time of Fath Makkah, on the conquest of Makkah, when practically Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking and marching into Makkah al-Mukarramah with the army of Muslimin. Let us go back and understand what was the background with which he had left Makkah Mukarramah, that he turned his gaze towards Baytullah and he addressed Makkah Mukarramah that if it was not for my people, you Makkah, you are beloved to me, I would have not left. He is coming back. He has all the right to take so-called revenge. He has all the right to proclaim justice, but he lowers his Mubarak head right to the extent that his Mubarak forehead touches the mane of the animal. This is the optimum sign of humbleness that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically displayed. What is it when the Quran is replete with taqwa, that let us enjoin taqwa over and over, numerous occasions it is mentioned. Why did it become of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to display this practically, that in his very own home, he chose a life of asceticism. He chose a life to imbibe taqwa in his life and that of his family. That months upon months would pass where there would not be sufficient oil to light the lamp in his own home. What he did, what it became, that the Mubarak feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became swollen because of his indulgence in extreme piety, inculcating this taqwa to display to the ummah. What is it when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had to tie a stone to his belly? So Quran was a practical display by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the faculty of ahadith, the traditions of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it stands, is a heritage and a legacy left for this ummah till the day of Qiyamah. And it is never to be questioned because Allah has taken the responsibility for his preservation. And in a practical way, how could we see that unfolding? From the very time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba would write down, as we mentioned, the incident of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu himself also had a collection of ahadith which he had written down. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah had given him and many other people of that time the phenomenal nature of excellence of memory. They would be able to memorize ahadith by the hundreds of thousands. And the demonstration of teaching hadith, not to one, two, or three people, but their lessons would unfold to an audience of hundreds of thousands. People at that time, understanding the value of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would undertake arduous journeys just to gain the knowledge of hadith from persons who had this knowledge of hadith. And we find right up till the present time, when a hadith is taught with a sanad and a chain of narrators from today right up till the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the hadith was heard, I heard from so and so, who in turn heard from so and so, right up till Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The preservation of this hadith is unique to this ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we look at all previous ummah, all other religions are bankrupt of the preservation of the lifestyle of that Nabi. The extent of the detail of the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that has been recorded and safeguarded is surmountable and cannot be matched in the history of any other religion. What is our duty towards the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? What is our relation towards the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? First and foremost is respect. Adab and respect is a fundamental trait of each and every believer. Let us remember, when we are hearing the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is as though we are in the court and presence of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine what was the ambience of the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where Sahaba were sitting in his court and he was addressing them. They never even had the courage of raising their gaze towards the countenance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, leave alone raising their voice. Allah has given us the privilege to experience deen in its pristine form. We need to understand the respect that is due to the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are not in a position to question the authenticity of the hadith, because it's accompanied with the knowledge of many other different sciences. Secondly, what is required is that we make an effort to learn the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today we go to all extents of learning the different knowledge and phenomena of the world, ideologies, etc. How many of us make that effort to acquaint ourselves with the knowledge of ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, given to whatever aspect of our life? Thirdly, our responsibility in relation to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the practicality of bringing amal into our life. Knowledge is of no benefit unless it is practiced, and the knowledge of deed is of greatest asset to a person once he practically brings it into our life. We hear a hadith from time to time, we take it for granted that I know this hadith or I heard it previously. Let us ask ourselves the question, how much have I made an effort to bring this hadith alive in my life? In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we will make amal, it is a connection between us and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It expresses our love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It will bring a certain amount of nur into our life, and most definitely it will be a means of safeguard from many, many different afflictions and trials and tribulations. So how we can make an effort to bring the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our life? And fourthly, how we can make an effort to teach whatever we know to others. Whatever hadith we know, in whatever respect it may be, make an effort to share it with the next person. This does not require any formal classroom or school or madrasa. In our interaction with the people, in our social life, when we are advising on different platforms, let us encourage one another by promoting the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his teachings. In this way, we will be valuing this heritage and this legacy that no other ummah had ever had the privilege of, and this is unsurpassable, that it cannot match any other heritage that anybody shares or boasts of things that he is proud of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding.